Well, Monday wasn't a great day to be a sports fan in Milwaukee. That was a tough go of things. Brewers fall to the Reds, Bucks fall to the Celtics. Boards, let's talk about the baseball game over here. Don't go anywhere. You're Locked On Brewers.
You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Good morning, everybody. Thanks again for making Locked On Brewers your first listen of the day. My name is Dominic Catronio. I am the statistician for Bally Sports Wisconsin, bringing you everything you need to know with your only daily podcast dedicated to your Milwaukee Brewers. Starting off a three-game series with the Reds last night, and they dropped the opener by a final of 10-5. Right back at it again, same time, same place tonight at 5:40 Central Time. Freddie Peralta will get the mound against Hunter Green later this evening. We'll briefly touch on that later. We're going to talk about yesterday's game and some overarching themes coming out of this and what we could be looking way, way ahead at the trade deadline, because we are, you know, fast approaching. We're less than 2 weeks away from the anniversary of the Willy Adames trade on May 21st, made his debut on May 22nd, of course, last year. So if the Brewers are going to make a big splash like that, granted, Willy Adames kind of flew under a lot of folks' radar at the time, who could they be targeting? That's just a, I had a name in mind that I want to share with y'all. This is a total pipe dream. I don't know if it's going to happen. But let's talk about yesterday's game first and foremost. Before we do that, reminder, hit that subscribe button if this is your first time listening. Subscribe to us on YouTube as well. I know you use YouTube. I know you got a YouTube account. Go hit that subscribe button on YouTube. We post all the video versions as well on YouTube. And we got the In the Hopper series coming up. Next episode comes at the end of this week. So let's talk about yesterday's game. Brandon Woodruff on the mound, going up against Luis Castillo. Castillo's return to the big leagues. He made three rehab starts. He had some shoulder issues during spring training, which delayed the start to his season. And he returned. He started off white hot in this game. Yes, he allowed the leadoff single to Colton Wong. Then he faced the minimum the first time through the order. He had four strikeouts first time through. Brewers had no answer for his changeup. That seems to be a common theme this season for the Brewers, facing pitchers with really, really good changeups. So add Luis Castillo to that list. Brandon Woodruff had a solid first, got a couple of strikeouts. And then in the second inning, you tip your cap. Colin Moran, he's hot. He had two homers in Sunday's game against the Pirates. He lines a ball out to left center field for his third homer in the last two games. That puts the Reds on the board first. But then Woodruff responds, striking out the next two batters and then getting a ground out to end the inning. 1-0 game, nothing to panic and sniff at about that. We fast forward now to the Brewers getting the offense going in the fourth inning, as this rally was started with a couple of walks, actually. Colton Wong, a leadoff walk, second time through the order. Willie struck out swinging. Willie had a tough go of it yesterday. Colton Wong steals while Yelich is batting. Yelich draws a walk, so all of a sudden you got runners on first and second, one out, and if you're Castillo, you're still just a ground ball to get out of this. Rowdy Tellez coming up, not a fast runner, but the hottest hitter on the Brewers, and he continues the hot hitting. He doubles on a sharp line drive into center field. It scores both runs. Brewers take the lead by a 2-1 score. But Brandon Woodruff could not keep things there in the fifth inning. Granted, he gets the shutdown inning in the fourth, so the Brewers lead 2-1. The Brewers got one again in the fifth inning, by the way. Omar Narvaez hitting a home run, his second of the year. But the bottom of the fifth inning is when things really unraveled for Brandon Woodruff. The first five batters of the inning reached against him in that frame, starting things off in the bottom of the fifth with a double by Albert Almora Jr., ambushing that. A nine-hole walk to the nine-hitter Matt Reynolds. Then another double by TJ Friedl put runners on second and third with the Reds down by one. Then a Brandon Drury deep home run to center field, a three-run shot, suddenly gives the Reds the lead, and then it was followed up by a Tommy Pham single. So the first five batters in the bottom of the fifth all reach base against him, and then one more fifth run scores in the fifth inning on a pass ball after Woodruff had already exited. Woodruff's final line reads with the loss, 4 1/3, 8 hits, 6 runs, 5 earned, 2 walks, 6 strikeouts, and 2 homers allowed. His ERA is currently sitting at 5.97. The Reds would add another in the 6th, and then a 3-run homer in the 7th really put things away, as a 3-run homer off the bat of Kyle Farmer that came off of Hobie Milner as he was trying to complete a second inning of relief. So Brewers gave up 14 hits in this one, a new season high for the Reds. They have lost three games in a row for the first time this season. And I know what you're thinking. Oh my gosh, lost a game to the Reds. This is unbelievable. It's only their sixth win of the year. Look, they weren't going to stay this down the whole season. They were due to get going. So the Brewers are now 19-11. The Reds are now 6-23. The winning pitcher in this goes to Luis Sessa, even though he allowed two earned runs. Wins shouldn't matter, but it is what it is. He gets the win. No save in this one. It was a drag of a game. It was not a pretty game by any stretch of the imagination. Brewers committed another error. The pass ball allowed an unearned run to score. Defense was a little spotty at times, but Christian Yelich made a heck of a web gem down the left field line. Just a weird game. You chalk it up, move on, and see what you can learn here tonight. But we're going to dive into some of the stuff, talking about Brandon Woodruff's start. But let's get this, one of the numbers I wanted to look at from last season. Of course, the Brewers won 95 games last season. Can you guess to yourself for a moment, how many times they had at least a three-game losing streak last season? All right, this is the first three-game losing streak of 2022. Can you guess how many times the Brewers had at least a three-game losing streak last year? Think about it. One, two, three. All right, the answer is seven. Seven times last season they had at least a three-game losing streak. So, look, this is going to happen, all right? It's first time, a month in, whatever. Get back up, dust your shoulders off, and get back after it. So, they have a three-game losing streak. They're still 19-11. As I sit here and record right now, the Cardinals had the day off yesterday. The Cubs are leading the Padres halfway through that game out in San Diego. So, not much happening in the NL Central today, but get back after it tomorrow. But another reminder about the NL Central, in Pittsburgh yesterday, the Pirates, the 12-16 Pirates, beat the 19-8 Los Angeles Dodgers. They beat them 5-1, okay? Baseball. No one's undefeated. You can't go every game and think every game is the end of the world. So look, bad teams beat good teams all the time. No need to overreact. Let's jump into the deeper dive stuff, talking about Brandon Woodruff's struggles this season. Before we do that, tell you about our partners at Bet Online. They continue to be the number one source for all your sports betting needs and sports information. You can find odds as well as news, sports developments. You've got basketball playoffs. Yesterday was tough, obviously, for the Bucks. You got MLB scores on there. You got the next UFC and boxing fights. Even got NFL futures already up there if you want to get way ahead on what's going on with the Packers. BetOnline is your number one source for everything sports wagering info, live betting, playoffs, esports, and more. You can head to their website from your phone or on your desktop to learn more about the trends and get in on the action at BetOnline, where the game starts. Diving into the start from Brandon Woodruff yesterday, the fastball continues to be a puzzling pitch for him. Obviously, we know it's got velo, 96, 97. The sinker's got good movement on it. The change has been really coming on strong this season. But I just want to present some numbers and try to make sense of it all right now for Woodruff. Yesterday, in particular, he threw a ton of fastballs again, over 65% fastballs between the four-seamer and the sinker. He got 26 swings on the fastball, so they swung at 26 fastballs. He only got one whiff on the fastball. And this has been a continuing theme for Woodruff. His whiff rate on his fastball has been pretty consistent throughout his career, 24-26%, which isn't anything elite by any stretch of the measure. But for a guy that lives up in the zone, if you're not getting a ton of swings and misses at your fastball, and specifically looking at his four-seam fastball, how often he's getting the middle of the plate this season. He's giving up another two home runs in yesterday's game, which the home runs are always there when you have a flame-throwing pitcher. But he hadn't allowed a home run in the last handful of starts for him as well. So four homers total on the season. He hadn't allowed a homer in his first month of the season. He had in his first four starts. Now he's allowed back-to-back starts with at least two homers. He had the back-to-back homers against the Reds last Tuesday. Now he gives up two homers in yesterday's game. So just something to keep an eye out on, as they continue to hit him hard, and the hits continue to add up as well. He's given up 29 hits in just shy of 29 innings pitched. So opponents are hitting .261 off of him this season. And again, it's a lot of it has to do with the fastball. So many counts are ending in the fastball. It's kind of bloating his numbers that you see, you know, the batting average saying, oh, it's not a bad batting average against his four-seam fastball, .161. But the sinker, it's 267 against the sinker. And then furthermore, we can just group those together on Baseball Savant and tell you what the batting average is on just fastballs. And this season, this is not including yesterday's start. Coming into the game, they were hitting 213 on his fastballs and yet 357 on his breaking balls. There's another great stat you can look at called run value. And this was a big part of the Trevor Gott piece in the Hopper. If you haven't seen that, go ahead and check it out on YouTube. Run value is a way that it breaks down by pitch, it breaks down by count, it breaks down by leverage of the value of a pitch. The lower, the better, and it goes into the negatives. Woodruff's sinker last year was a negative 15 run value, and that's a cumulative stat. Now, if you do run value per 100 pitches of that sinker, it averages about negative 2 runs, which is a solid number, nothing crazy. This year, it's just about league average, 0 and negative 1, respectively, between his four-seamer and his fastball. A lot of that has to do with the fact that there has been some loud contact off of it. He gives up currently a 260-plus batting average on the sinker, which is not, you know, his MO, given last season all year it was 242. The problem with the sinker, of course, is that with it having such high velocity and moving into a lefty's hitting zone, coming arm side with sink, that lefties are going to punish it if he misses it just by a hair. So he's just a little bit off here at the start of the season with the sinker. He's been giving up loud contact. I mean, last year, the entire season, he allowed 18 home runs in about 180 innings. So, you know, one homer every 10 innings isn't a terrible rate. But this season, you know, allowing four homers in roughly 29 innings, just shy of 30 innings, but say it's 28 and two-thirds, that's roughly a homer every 7 innings. So just something to keep an eye on for Woodruff. Diving into the breaking ball stuff, he has really kind of scrapped the breaking balls, and he had a tough go of it with his breaking balls in yesterday's game. He threw 20 total breaking balls between the curve and the slider. He only got 8 strikes on them. And the curve, his last two starts has been his lowest rate of the curve all season. He threw 8 curveballs last Tuesday against the Reds. He only threw 7 yesterday, and the slider wasn't that great either. And the swing and miss rates have plummeted on his breaking ball. I know he's not necessarily always been a breaking ball guy, but it's been a good pitch to have as a third option, keep hitters off balance, and can get you a swing and miss every now and then. Last season, his breaking ball whiff rate was 34%, which is pretty darn good. This season, it's only at 13%. So I look at that saying, look, I know he's not a breaking ball, junk ball type of guy, but teams are picking up his breaking ball. There is something modified with it right now that's where I look at for Brandon Woodruff. See, hey, changeup's been great. Keep doing what you're doing with the changeup. But can we find a way to refine the breaking balls and see if we can get more swings and misses and bait guys a little bit more with your breaking balls? Because a lot of them have missed not even much. And in fact, in the entire season, so he's got 37 strikeouts now, including last night. Only 3 of them have been on breaking balls all season long. Something to keep an eye on once again. So Brandon Woodruff off to a slow start. He's still one of your best pitchers. He can figure it out. He's a veteran now. I mean, it's 30 starts last season, 22 starts in 2019. It's not like you don't learn anything from that. And 13 starts in 2020 in the shortened season. But shortened season was weird for everybody. He still had a sub-1 whip in 2020. He had a sub-1 whip last year. Right now, it's at 1.36. I believe Woodruff can figure things out. I'm looking forward to see how he does it for him. On a positive note, I tweeted this from yesterday's game. Christian Yelich hit another ball screaming hard, but this time it was right at a guy. And as we sit here and talk about Christian Yelich, and I kind of tread on eggshells right now, as I know how things escalate very quickly when folks want to talk about Christian Yelich. 29 games in, 122 plate appearances. He has second most plate appearances on the team. 240 average, a 759 OPS, 4 homers, 7 doubles, 3-for-3 in stolen bases. Strikeouts are a bit up. That's a fair criticism. For me, he continues to hit the ball hard, which proves that he's healthy. And he hit another ball 114 miles an hour, a screaming liner. Going into Savant, I decided to exclude ground balls and look at how many balls Christian Yelich has hit at least 110 miles an hour that are line drives or fly balls. That was the 7th ball he's hit that's at least 110 miles an hour this season that was not a ground ball. That is the third most such batted balls in all of baseball of at least 110 miles an hour that aren't grounders. Furthermore, he only had seven such batted balls in all of 2021. He's healthy, and I had this thought with Vinny Rattino in the studio yesterday during the game. Some of these balls that he's been robbed on, his barrel rate is through the roof. He's in the top 10 in barrel rate in baseball. When things actually do start getting warmer, getting a little more carry, maybe the humidifiers, they figured things out with what they're going. It seemed like in yesterday's game, to be fair, when we criticized the bad baseballs, we also got to recognize, I think we had a good batch of baseballs in yesterday's game. Colin Moran, that was a fair home run. Rowdy Tellez, he came just shy, but I think he got a little under that ball in center field. I believe that was in the seventh inning. And then there was a ball in the eighth inning that flat out the warning track for the Reds. I think it was a fair set of baseballs in yesterday's game. But Yelich continues to tear the cover off the ball, proving he's healthy. And when things warm up and when the roof is open again at American Family Field, look out, man. I'm excited. I'm not saying he's going to be MVP Yelich, and I know a lot of folks want that from him. Let's see the dude continue to play like the way he is and continue to hit the ball hard, and good things are going to happen for Christian Yelich. And for another guy that's actually putting it together, another RBI double for Rowdy Tellez. Here are his numbers right now. He's hitting 258. He's got a 567 slugging for an 881 OPS. Nine doubles, tied for third in the National League. Seven homers, also tied for third in the National League. And he's now tied for first and runs batted in with 26 this season. As we start the All-Star campaign, that's way too early to start an All-Star campaign for Rowdy Tellez. We got to remind you how hard it is for him in the National League. Freddie Freeman, Eric Hosmer, CJ Cron, Matt Olson, Josh Bell, Paul Goldschmidt, and Pete Alonso. All those dudes are absolutely deserving of All-Stars, just like Rowdy. So it's going to be an uphill climb to see if we can get Rowdy to the All-Star game here in Los Angeles in 2022. I teased that we had a trade proposal coming up here, and a guy that I've had my eye on. Before we do that, I want to tell you about our friends at Rock Auto, a site that I use personally. There's so many makes and models out there these days, it's impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts your car could need. So you can endure the pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning, you know, every single little thing about the model car that you drive and make you feel stupid and little and like, geez, man, I just need to get a new rear lamp, or I just need to get a new rear taillight, man. I don't know. Look, you can get everything your car can need at rockauto.com. You can spend 30, 50, even 100% markup for the same parts at a chain store, or you can go to Rock Auto, a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. They've got everything: fuel pumps, brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, new carpet for your car. Go use their easy-to-use website today to explore and find all the solutions to your auto part needs. And when you go to rockauto.com, and you see everything available, make sure that you write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box, so that way you know that we sent you over there from the Locked On Brewers podcast. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com. I've been kicking the tires. Look, Tyrone Taylor got an RBI single yesterday, and we talked about Lorenzo Cain in Monday's episode, and I'm not saying a trade is imminent, and I'm not saying that, you know, the Brewers are making this trade instantly. But Tyrone Taylor is starting to get some more ABs. He's got only 60 at-bats this season. He's only played now in 18 games. Hitting 217, a sub-650 OPS. Maybe more consistent ABs will help him out, but he's still platooning, really, with Lorenzo Cain. But if the Brewers were looking to upgrade in the outfield, I don't see many center fielders specifically being available right now, but there's one name that jumped out at me, and maybe it's because of my time with the A's in spring training, but Ramon Laureano jumped out at me. And here's a couple of reasons why. He'll be cheap for the next couple of years. He is coming off of a PED suspension. He just returned yesterday with the Oakland A's. So with his suspension, he's now arbitration eligible next year as opposed to this year. So that's 4 years of control for Ramon Laureano. As a small market team like the Brewers, they are looking for team control. Not talking about guys that, you know, are going to be paid a ton in arbitration. The dude got paid $2.45 million for this coming year in his third year of service time. Look, when Ramon is healthy in 2019, granted, juice ball, I know, he hit 29 doubles, 24 homers. He also had 13 stolen bases. He hit .288. In 2021, with the suspension, of course, he had a .760 OPS with 14 homers and 21 doubles. He plays great, great defense. Obviously, we know about his arm. He is 27 years old this season. And with the 4 years of control, it makes him a little more expensive. You're talking at least one big leaguer on the current roster. You're talking top prospects, maybe two top prospects, given how long Ramon Laureano could stay as a Brewer. Another stat that I really like from him in 2021, again, I understand with the PED suspension, he had a 40% hard hit rate last season, which was the second best in his career, only worse than his 2019 season, of course, with the juiced baseball. And he sprays it all over the place. He loves going up the middle. He doesn't really go opposite field, but a lot of his power is to the gaps, kind of like a Willie Adames. His batting average on balls in play last year was .304. And again, we know about his defense. This is just a pipe dream for me. I would love to see what a potential deal could look like for Ramon Laureano. And in the A's perspective, they need a lot because he's one of their more consistent bats on this team currently that is moving forward for a rebuild. And in their eyes, Christian Pache is one of the guys in the centerpieces in the Matt Olson trade they got from the Braves. He's been off to a solid start this season. He seems to be the center fielder of the future for the Oakland A's. He's cooled off from a hot start. He's only hitting .169 this season. So, again, I don't see the A's eager to move Ramon Laureano. But I got a tweet about that earlier this week saying, hey, who do you think they can get in center field? I'm like, maybe Ramon, but I just don't see the A's doing it quickly. It'd be cool, though. I think it'd be a great fit. I think it would be a great fit. You would lose probably Tyrone Taylor in the deal, too, just trying to send him back to Oakland and see if he can get more consistent playing time out there. But I don't know. It's if you're going to make a deal, it's going to be something splashy for the Brewers this season. It's not going to be this quiet May deal unless they see something that we don't see somewhere else. I still would love Andrew Benintendi, but there's no room for him in the corner outfield spots right now. You would love to upgrade at center field, but sometimes trying to make a deal when you don't really need to make a deal does more harm than good. And speaking of the A's, I think of the Yoenis Cespedes deal back in 2015, if I'm not mistaken. The A's traded Cespedes for John Lester, remember, to the Red Sox. Yeah, remember, Yoenis Cespedes was briefly a Red Sox and briefly even a Detroit Tiger at one point, too. But they traded in 2014, right at the deadline, to get John Lester and Johnny Gomes. Obviously didn't work out for the A's in 2014. So sometimes you try to make a deal and you force it a little too hard and it doesn't work out. By the way, Yoenis Cespedes is still a free agent. Just saying. I'm just kidding. I'm not saying we're going to sign Yoenis Cespedes. So let's talk about tonight. Freddy Peralta getting the ball, trying to rebound and get things going really in the right direction for him. It's been a stop and go type season for Freddy. Some starts have looked really good. Some starts have looked kind of all over the place. He's got 13 earned runs allowed in just 23 innings. Granted, six of them came in the start against St. Louis at home. He's been better since then. He had that great six shutout inning appearance against the Pirates. He had a quality start without a walk allowed. In his last go of it against Cincinnati in the 18-4 blowout, they didn't need much from him. He went five innings, had two more walks, seven strikeouts. He gave up three earned runs, but gets the win, his first win of the season. He threw 98 pitches in his last go around. He got 11 swings and misses, and he hasn't been getting a ton of swings and misses this season. His season high is 13, which he's done twice, even in that tough start against the Cardinals and in the great start against the Pirates. I wonder if he's going to be able to get more swings and misses coming up here against the Reds. And another thing to note, against the Reds in his last go around, he got 9 ground ball outs. It's the second time this season he's had more ground ball outs than fly ball outs in a game. Maybe that's something, maybe that's nothing. Maybe it's an outlier. I do not know. But Freddy Peralta will get the ball here later this evening. Again, a 5:40 first pitch from Cincinnati on Bally Sports, Wisconsin. And Hunter Green getting the ball. I'm intrigued. Bill Schroeder said this yesterday. I'm intrigued to see what kind of adjustments he makes after getting shellacked by the Brewers in the finale on Thursday with all the home runs against velocity. In fact, there was a StatCast note on that the Brewers hit the most homers in a single game of over 97 miles an hour, and about five of the homers were over fastballs over 97 miles an hour. So I don't know if he's going to see a ton of homers or a ton of fastballs again from Hunter Green. He doesn't really have a changeup. The slider still was pretty good. He's allowed 10 homers, which is the most in baseball. He's got an 8.71 ERA. But again, he's only 22 years old. He's got plenty of time to figure things out on a team that is not going to be competing in 2022. So again, today we are on Bally Sports Wisconsin, but tomorrow the game is on YouTube TV. So there will be no Bally Sports Wisconsin. It'll be available exclusively and for free on YouTube. So that's where you can catch tomorrow's game. Today, Bally Sports. Tomorrow, YouTube. Got it? Good. That's it for this episode. Thanks again for tuning in. My name is Dominic Cotroneo. If you haven't already, follow us on Twitter at Locked On Brewers. I'm at Dom_Cotroneo. You can see all of our content there as well. Our YouTube page, wherever you get your podcasts, hit the subscribe button. That's it. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time, keep on swinging.
You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.